For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia joins 15 other states in a lawsuit challenging President Trump's emergency declaration to build his wall along the southern border. Lawmakers in Richmond consider more transparency in how state government works. And in our second of two reports on the increase in homeschooling, we visit a homeschooling co-op in Charlottesville, founded to create a positive learning environment for children of color. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, February 19th. Virginia has joined a lawsuit challenging President Trump's emergency declaration to build his wall along the southern border. Attorney General Mark Herring's office said Monday that Trump's declaration and diversion of funds is unconstitutional. The lawsuit claims that Virginia stands to lose more than $100 million in military construction funds that could be diverted for wall construction. 15 other states are parties to the lawsuit. A bill that requires religious leaders to report suspected child abuse or neglect is now before Governor Ralph Northam for his signature. The Winchester Star reports the bill requires ministers, priests, rabbis, imams, and other religious leaders to report suspected abuse to law enforcement. Church leaders who know of or suspect child abuse now are exempt from a law that requires it to be reported. Other professionals, including healthcare workers, teachers, and law enforcement personnel, are required to report. Republican Senator Jill Vogel says she is, quote, relieved and grateful that religious institutions supported the bill, which Vogel sponsored. The bill includes exemptions for information that a church's doctrine requires be kept confidential, such as what a priest hears in confession. Lawmakers in Richmond are considering a proposal that would add more transparency to how state government works. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has that story.
Remember that viral video of Delegate Kathy Tran explaining her bill on late-term abortion? Don't look for an official video because lawmakers do not record or archive subcommittee meetings. Delegate Mark Levine is a Democrat from Alexandria who says that's wrong.
More than half of all bills in the General Assembly die in subcommittee. Subcommittee is where bills are first heard. It's where bills are first amended. It's where tough questions are first raised.
That's why he's working with Republican Senator Amanda Chase of Chesterfield to request the clerks of the House and Senate broadcast all subcommittee meetings.
Because right now it's completely off the radar. I'm done with politics as usual. The Transparency Caucus is done with politics as usual. We don't like the smoke and mirrors.
Open government is not free, though. The cost of installing the hardware and uploading all that video is estimated at about $60,000. So far, that money has not been appropriated, but Delegate Levine and Senator Chase are hopeful that the clerks of the House and Senate will find some discretionary money and shed a little sunlight on Virginia politics.
The World Health Organization says that measles is on the rebound worldwide, and in this country, the CDC has confirmed 127 cases in 10 states so far this year, WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports.
Thought to have been eradicated in this country 20 years ago, it is coming back.
The last confirmed case of measles in Virginia occurred last year.
Marshall Vogt is epidemiologist at the Virginia Department of Health.
Tied to somebody who traveled outside of the country to China.
He says Virginia laws require
children who attend daycares and schools, both public and private, to have vaccines, including the MMR.
Parents can refuse for religious or medical reasons, and the percentage here is smaller enough to prevent outbreaks like the one in Washington State. Doctors say today's vaccines are safe, but some remember autism cases from 20 years ago and are concerned. More on the story at ideastations.org. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Should parents be able to veto some materials used in public schools when bullying or suicide prevention is on the agenda? Michael Pope has that story.
Republican Senator Siobhan Donovan of Henrico County says parents should be able to block their child from being exposed to graphic or violent material when public schools are teaching about bullying or suicide prevention.
There was a particular incident where several children were very upset, and there was an inappropriate choice of very graphic video material by the teacher, and parents need to have a say in what their children are exposed to.
Hold on a second, says Senator Jeremy McPike, a Democrat from Prince William County.
This puts into a scenario where the abuser can block their child from receiving potentially life-saving information. I'd urge the body to really think about this and pump the brakes.
The bill has passed the House and Senate, which means it's headed to the governor's desk. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Well, finally, as we learned yesterday, homeschooling in our part of Virginia is growing quickly for various reasons. In this follow-up report, WMRA's Andrew Jenner reports on one homeschooling co-op in Charlottesville founded to create a positive learning environment for children of color.
Call it the universal law of school lunch. If you sit a group of kids down with their packed lunches, you get a little bit of eating and a lot of happy chatter. These particular happy chatterers are students at the Community Roots Co-op just outside Charlottesville. Now in its fourth year, Community Roots was founded by a group of parents who saw a need in Charlottesville for a school that emphasizes and affirms diversity in its student body, staff, and curriculum. With about 20 students ages 4 to 12 enrolled, it operates as a homeschool co-op. Two hired educators do much of the teaching, with other responsibilities divided among parents. Rachel Zaslow, one of Community Roots' founding moms, says the group tries to maintain a ratio of 80% children of color to 20% white children.
It's an intentional balance so that children of color are represented as the majority and see themselves reflected in their peers, in their teachers, in the things that they're learning.
When Zaslow and her family moved to Charlottesville from Brooklyn 5 years ago, they were struck by the city's stark racial and class divides. And when she began looking at school options for her daughter, who is black, Zaslow was concerned by what she encountered.
Everywhere around us were only images of white children, only books with white children. And when I asked about how diversity and my own daughter might be represented, I was told about a slavery unit that they did. And so I was very concerned that my daughter's culture would only be represented through the lens of slavery or the civil rights movement.
And so Zaslow decided to homeschool through the co-op she helped found.
And on some level, I believe in resiliency, and I believe that we can grow through things that are hard. But specifically for my daughter, who's black, there's some racially based trauma that I think at this early point in her life, if she can have tools to know how to deal with those things when they come at her, and a really strong grounding in who she is and in her self-esteem, she'll be better equipped to deal with the real trauma that will come at her as she gets older.
According to a recent report by PBS NewsHour, the number of African-American children being homeschooled in the country has more than doubled over the last 15 years. Anecdotally, that same trend is occurring here in Virginia as well.
We're seeing more of that than we have ever seen before.
Yvonne Bunn is the Director of Homeschool Support and Government Affairs for the Home Educators Association of Virginia. She notes that growing diversity within homeschooling isn't limited to African Americans, as Muslim and Latino families are also contacting her group in increasing numbers. Still, beneath their superficial differences, Bunn says these families often have much in common.
They want to pass on their culture and their philosophy of life and their religious beliefs. They are looking for connections with others in either support groups or co-ops that they could connect with, and also just to be able to share friendships and social activities.
For this series, I spoke to three mothers in the area who homeschool. In terms of what motivated that choice, they were quite different. But once again, there's a common thread. They love it. Jennifer Hall is a religious homeschooler who wants her children's education to reflect her family's Christian values.
One of the most rewarding aspects for me is just learning alongside my children and taking interest in the things that they're involved in their educational process. Everything from just enjoying watching my kindergartner learn how to put sounds together and read her first words, and the opposite end of the spectrum, working through Algebra 2 problems with my 11th grader.
Gleamer Sullivan is an unschooler who wants her kids' interests to drive their learning rather than someone else's rigid curriculum.
Unschooling is just so wonderful to have your children enjoy life and have them pursue what they're really passionate about.
And back in Charlottesville, Zaslow's thrilled to see her daughter thriving at the co-op.
If I could describe to you the level of joy and self-esteem that these girls have in our classroom, it's sort of astounding. Before starting at Community Roots Co-op, my daughter was constantly asking me to straighten her hair because that's what she saw around her. And now she loves and embraces her curly hair and says it on a daily basis. And it's because she sees it in her teacher. It's because she sees it in her peers. Hair seems small, but it's big. and it's a signifier for a lot of young girls of beauty and acceptance and who they are in the world.
For WMRA News, I'm Andrew Jenner.
You can learn more about this two-part series at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.